Get road trip ready with a service checkup at your local Chevy dealer. They can save you time and money and get the job done right the first time, worry-free. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for current service specials or to schedule a test drive.
It's time to talk with Tom Skilling. Wednesday today, our visit with Tom, sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems. How are you, Tom? How are you doing today?
Anna, I'm doing fine. Thank you so much. I had my my annual physical yesterday, so I snuck away from the office, and it was everything. You know, it's interesting in the wake of that surgery to see, you know, what the numbers look like, and it's really amazing how good they are. So that's good.
You had the gastric bypass, and I know you lost a lot of weight, but you're saying in other ways you saw your health improve?
Yeah, it really is interesting, and how everything falls in line when you get rid of that some of that weight. So it's quite stunning to watch the whole process. How are you doing? What a beautiful day it is.
It is. You know, Tom, as we speak, I'm looking out the window here of the 18th floor, our perch here on the 18th floor, our beautiful Skyline Studios.
Beautiful,
I'm seeing the boats come up through the river as they, and they're all lined up here for their turn to come in. I mean, it is that time. It's the end of the boating season for sure. So they're all lined up, ready to come in.
Well, they're very wise. They're probably looking at forecasts that show the waves building again tomorrow, but really building by Friday, and they probably figure, get in here now. Although, you know, there's nothing more depressing than being on Lakeshore Drive when that bridge goes up downtown or any of them. It kind of messes up the traffic. But what are you going to do? You got to get the boats in. So that's, you know, it's the lesser of the evils.
It's right that kind there. Of day. Hey, Tom, we did hear from a number of our listeners saying that they saw frost on the ground. Yeah. I saw Northwest Indiana, maybe Aurora, too. Some places saw that this morning. Pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, you know, Anna, I was looking at all the low temperatures, and my gosh, we've got sensors all over the place these days. And the readings overnight went down as low as 29 out at Lake Barrington and south down at Crete. Shows how when you move away from the heat of the city and even more of Lake Michigan, how cool it gets. Widespread 30s. I had reported frost from Paul Daly, one of our WGN, my WGN meteorological colleagues. Paul was for years the head of the Chicago Weather Service office here and has worked with us for many, many years on our Chicago Tribune weather page and all the weather stuff we do at WGN. Mm-hmm. But Paul lives out in St. Charles, said it was frosty this morning. 29 at Lake Barrington and Crete. On the other hand, it was 51 up at the lighthouse on the Kenosha shoreline, and out at the Crib, 3 miles off Chicago, it was 49. So 29 to 51 degrees was the spread across the area. And downtown, it was about 44, even though O'Hare went down to 38, Midway went down to 39 this morning. Mm-hmm. So if you were near the lake, you didn't get the frost. I see at Lake Forest, the low was in the low 40s this morning. Down at East Chicago at the marina, it was 41. So isn't that something, how the lake imparts all that warmth to the atmosphere this time of the year and really buffers the areas close to the shoreline from the frost that occurs in other places as you get inland?
You know, it is interesting because the people in Kenosha or near the lake are probably saying, frost, what are you talking about? And such a spread in the temperatures just based on what you just said. Tom, I want to ask you about La Nina and the impact it is having or will have on us as we move forward into later fall and into the winter. What are you seeing there?
Well, La Nina is a cooling of the equatorial Pacific waters. It occurs once every 2 to 7 years, depending on in the particular cycle you're looking at. And La Nina is the cool phase. El Nino is the warm phase of the equatorial Pacific waters. What happens in a La Nina, and the reason these are important, even though they're thousands of miles away from us, they distort the jet stream there. And since the whole atmosphere around the planet is interconnected, you start fiddling with the jet streams that blow and are related to the ocean temperatures in the equatorial Pacific there. And there are impacts upstream and downstream all around the planet. So what happens in a La Nina here in the Midwest many times is you get a volatile winter. We looked at the statistics on Chicago's winters during La Ninas, And we found they average 60% of them come in above normal on average temperature, but there are big spreads in temperature. The jet streams in La Nina winters tend to go from westerly, where they bathe the country in mild Pacific air, to a buckled jet stream that can tap Arctic air and bring it down. So there are wide swings in temperature that you get. And there tends to be a pretty active storm-producing setup across the United States. Now, the interesting thing is, and if you look at the storm tracks in La Nina years, they often favor, say, the central and northern states with the heaviest precipitation out west. This could be not good news for, say, the desert areas of Arizona and Southern California. On the other hand, Central and Northern California and the Rockies, the Central and Northern Rockies, tend to get in on some pretty good amounts of snow. And for us, it'll be interesting. Precipitation averages above normal in La Nina winters, but whether it'll be snow or rain will depend very much on how the storm tracks with this La Nina line up. Not all La Ninas are created equal, but those are some of the general effects of them. And they tend to last about 1 to 2 years, these La Ninas. This is a double dip year. We had a La Nina last winter, and now we're going to go have another one this winter. And La Ninas tend to impact the cold season the most, even though they produce some active severe weather seasons in the spring across the southern United States up to the Ohio Valley.
Sounds like you're going to be awfully busy with the temperature swings and the figuring out this volatile winter that could be in store for us, Tom.
Yeah, you know, and we've had La Ninas where that hasn't happened. You know, you kind of generalize on these things, but you've got to be aware of the fact every one of them is different. But yeah, this could be an interesting winter around the Midwest. You know, our Great Lakes are running about 7 degrees warmer. Or Lake Michigan is 7 degrees warmer than a year ago. Its water is. And so when we start dumping cold air across it, that's going to rev up that lake snow machine downwind of the lakes. So that'll be interesting to follow, too, since we have such a warm lake situation going after the warm autumn that we had up till just recently.
Gee, you're right. It's like the switch, like the light switch. You know, we went from the super warmth and we were talking about all the record warmth and that kind of thing. And now here we are, more feeling like fall. Back with Tom Skilling now. Tom, you know, we talked a little bit about the fall colors, predicting when they might arrive. I was in Three Oaks, Michigan Sunday, and I noticed an awful lot of green still on the trees. Usually when we visit to go to the pumpkin patches and things like that over that way and visit the family farms, it's really, you know, they've changed. The fall colors have already turned, but I didn't see as much as we normally do right now.
It's a good point, Anna. You know, normally you figure this is about peak season for colors, but things are running a little late this year, and the reason is because of that exceptional warmth that we had through the first part of the autumn around here. It was quite warm and broadly so across the center of the country. So we're running a little bit slow this year. I've been hearing the same reports, Anna, from folks all over the area. I had a report from Shanahan the other day. They were saying, wow, you know, it's late this year. The fall colors are. Mm-hmm. And they've been a little slow to develop, but they are developing now. You know, they're past peak up in the North Woods of Wisconsin. We've been getting some beautiful pictures from that area, upper Michigan, northern Minnesota, the North Woods of Wisconsin, northern lower Michigan. Beautiful. But even there, you go up to the Traverse City area, the colors were a little delayed up there as well, although they've certainly come into play recently up there, no question about it.
Yeah, it'll happen. I guess it's just a little later. I'm used to exactly this, because I always go up this time of year because of the pumpkin patches, and it's so beautiful. Yeah. There are a couple little nature walks we take there, and I have these annual photos of my daughter and the cousins all throwing the leaves up in the air, and it's just, I just look forward to it so much. But this is where we're at. Hey, it seems like quite an active weather pattern these last few days, and maybe continues. I saw the Northeast is getting hit, and tornadoes in Texas, stuff like that.
Well, you know what happens, Anna, is the northern latitudes, the northern end of the continent and the hemisphere cool with shorter days and less energy from the sun. You get this huge north to south temperature variation across the hemisphere, And jet streams tend to develop between warm and cold air. So the bigger the spread, north to south, the stronger the jet stream. And what we've seen in the last couple of weeks, we've had a jet stream as strong as 240 miles an hour up at cruising altitude for jet airplanes across the Pacific. And these the bursts of energy, these pockets of strong winds that oscillate through this jet stream, set up these storms that we see down here at low levels of the atmosphere. So you get a very active storm track. These things started lambasting the West Coast a couple weeks ago, and they've been coming one after another, and then they track across the country. So now, like this one that's going to develop the next couple of days, this is really a strange thing. It digs southward and spins up a surface system down in, say, Arkansas and Missouri and through the deep south. But this thing is going to be a mammoth system with dictating the winds over the whole eastern United States, including the Midwest. And so what we're going to see is these easterly winds on its north side will begin strengthening tomorrow. But by the time we get to Friday, day after tomorrow, we ought to have wind gusts going in the 30 to 40 and even at times a little higher along the lakeshore where the winds come in unimpeded off the water. And that's what builds the waves. And so, here we go again. And then what will happen is it'll grab moisture from the Gulf, wrap it up here, and we'll get clouds and rain to come in. We have 100% probabilities of rainfall tomorrow night and Friday. So it's going to get wet. And I was looking at the rain numbers off the models. They range anywhere from 0.6 inch to as much as, I see a 1.2 inch total on one of the models here. So we got another, fairly substantial rain. It won't be the 3 and 4 inch thing that we had earlier in the week in parts of the area, but it'll be a respectable rain.
Mm-hmm. And so, then as we look out toward Halloween weekend, of course, Sunday is the big day, but I know kids are out on Saturday too with different, activities and stuff. What do you think, Tom?
Yeah. The weekend looks good. We could carry some leftover showers into Saturday morning, but as the day goes on, the wind will keep blowing from the north-northeast strongly. But by the time we get to Sunday, we ought to have a dry weekend except for Saturday morning. And it looks like it'll be cool. I was looking at some records. Frank Wachowski, our veteran Weather Service observer at Midway Airport, Frank's been on the job down there since the mid-50s and has measured the snows of every blizzard and the peak winds of every storm we've ever had all that time. But Frank's statistics show it's rained 77 of the past 150 Halloweens. That's about 51% of the time. This one will not be a rainy Halloween. It's even snowed 8 of the past 137 Halloweens for which we have data. That's about 6% of them. And the biggest snow that we had on a Halloween was just a couple years ago in 2019. We had 3.4 inches. The only other Halloween with measurable snow was 0.1 inch, and that was back in 2014. So most of the time you just get traces. By the way, Anna, it's worth mentioning, October 30th or 31st mm-hmm. has been historically the average first day for flurries in Chicago. So don't think we're going to do it this year, but it gives you an idea. We're getting into that time of the year now. Well, we'll keep watching these systems. I don't see any yet, but, it may start cropping up here somewhere in the next couple of weeks.
It'll be here soon enough. I know that is for sure. Hey, Tom, I'm so happy that you got the good bill of health from your doctor and that's just awesome news. So,
yeah, it really is, Anna. I'll tell you, this has been a journey, no question about it. But, it's amazing the number of contacts I've gotten from folks who are contemplating this sort of surgery or you have friends or relatives who are. And it's a sign that it really has profound health impacts. But anyway, thank you for letting me delay a day talking to you. I always enjoy our Tuesday talks, so it's good to talk today.
Glad you could fit it in today, and glad you're well, Tom. We'll talk again next week.
Thank you, Anna. You have a great day, and I hope those boats get in safely.
I'm looking at them. They're making it. Thanks, Tom. We'll talk again soon.
Bye-bye.
Tom Skilling, sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems. That's going to do it for us. We've got to get to the news at the top of the hour from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Steve Bertram picks things up on the other side. I hope you have a good evening, and we'll talk again tomorrow.